Hello and welcome to the Doorsteps podcast. I'm Dr. Cody Price and I would like to introduce you all to my guest today, Devin Keithley. Devin is the Data Quality Assurance Coordinator in the Office of Housing Policy here at OFA, and he is here to talk about our office's new housing needs assessment. And so just as a little introduction about the housing needs assessment, as part of OFA's annual plan, the housing needs assessment uses a wide range of data to identify the scales and scope of Ohio's housing challenges. The housing needs assessment evaluates Ohio's current housing landscape to gauge needs, identify gaps, and highlight key trends. So by identifying the key housing challenges throughout the state, it provides baseline information that helps establish the basis upon which OFA builds its priorities for action. And so this year's housing needs assessment has 9 broad categories covering homeownership, rental housing, home energy and transportation, housing insecurity, housing stock, income and labor, demographics, how Ohio compares section, and a new COVID-19 section, which Devin will get into in a little bit. And so I'm really happy to have my colleague Devin here today to provide some key insights into this year's housing needs assessment. So thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Cody. Happy to be here.
So what are some of the key takeaways of this year's housing needs assessment and why do they really matter?
So some of the things that we found this year that were a little different, a little bit surprising. One of the things is, maybe this wasn't too surprising, is that there's a shortage of rental units that are affordable and available to extremely low income renters. And those are renters that earn less than 30% of area median income. We use data from a number of different sources to arrive at that, but what you're looking at is essentially a shortage of 200,000 units for those renters in Ohio currently. And we've been chipping away at that shortage year after year, but the net rate that we're adding to that supply of affordable housing for extremely low-income renters, it's going to take 50 years before we close that affordable housing gap. The second point I'd make is that currently our housing stock in Ohio is relatively old, partly due to that slow rate of construction. Older housing stock means higher home energy costs, it means more maintenance, and it means a greater likelihood of lead in the home, which can be a health risk, especially to younger children. We also in Ohio are seeing the population with disabilities and the older adult population are growing. The older adult population is expected to peak by 2030. And certainly some parts of Ohio are expected to see considerably large numbers of older adults added to the population. So not only are we having the shortage of affordable housing, but specifically we know that we need to build more, we need to create more accessible housing for those populations. And then one thing that we discovered, this was something new that we had done this year, was we added a bunch of racial gap analysis, looking at a number of indicators by the difference between the Black and white population. And in Ohio, we have deep racial disparities between the Black and white population in Ohio. We see this in infant mortality. We see it in income and poverty. We see it in housing cost burden and homeownership. One of the reasons why there's a gap in homeownership is because Black Ohioans are far more likely to be denied on a mortgage loan application.
Basically, is that finding for all Black homeowners or potential homeowners, or is that for specific income groups of Black homeowners?
We actually found that there was a racial disparity at all income levels. Even at higher income levels, Blacks were more likely to be denied on a home loan application than whites.
I mean, you've been involved with the housing needs assessment for a few years now. What kind of trends have you really seen over the years in Ohio dealing with the needs assessment?
Year over year, sometimes we see a lot of the same thing. We know that there's a shortage of affordable housing. We know, you know, which populations are vulnerable, and often this doesn't change from year to year. that doesn't change the fact that these are pressing needs that ought to be addressed. I think sometimes we see estimates like that, the trend that we're not going to close that affordable housing gap 50 years, that's based on new data. That may have been, maybe that hasn't changed much, but we're not, you know, fixing that. So trends have shown the economy and housing market slowly improving since the Great Recession. I'd just say that generally. That may all be changing now with the current economic crisis, but that's yet to be seen. At the same time, homeless numbers have been growing steadily over the past 6 years at least, and income growth for lower income families hasn't kept up with rent increases. We can fix that by increasing the minimum wage. We can fix that, or we can help that by through rent control, or we could help that through, you know, rental assistance, but we can, full employment is another thing. I think people, lower income people are often not fully employed. They're working part-time, piecing together part-time jobs, or they don't have benefits.
Right, because I mean, I think the result of this is just that it's going to stress the housing market, that these individuals are going to become more housing insecure. They're going to be spending more of their income on the rents. And it's going to put them more vulnerable or susceptible to potential eviction or even foreclosure on their mortgage if they are spending more money and costs that they may not be able to manage or control get out of hand, then their housing may be something that goes away.
Right.
But how has OFA's needs assessment evolved over time? What is kind of new this year and why was it added?
So when I started at OFA, the housing needs assessment was a very long document of over 200 pages. It involved a lot of tables and graphics and that sort of thing that we put together, but our Office of Communications and Marketing had to put together a lot of the graphics, and it was very time-consuming process. But in the end, what we had was this product that was very static, and it was, whether it was printed or it was a PDF, it was what it was, and you could only put so much into a static graphic or map. Last year, we decided to do something different, and we put the needs assessment online. What that did was that meant we had the opportunity to have interactive data visualizations using Tableau, and it also gave us the opportunity to put tables into Excel documents that people could download for themselves. I would say that the Tableau visualizations, one of the benefits to that is that the user can hover over the charts and graphs or maps, and a bubble will come up called the tooltip that can provide more information than whatever is mapped or charted. And in that way, we can provide a lot more information in that format to the public than we could ever do before with a static printed product.
So why do you think that this is really beneficial to include this raw data kind of with these visualizations?
Well, that was something important that I thought that we really needed to have, so that I got this from pulling data myself from other reports, that it was just more useful to have Excel files that you could use to dig into the data further, to do your own analysis, than to download, for example, a PDF table. And so we thought, why not provide the audience with Excel tables that they could then download, they could look at the numbers, they could run the calculations themselves if they wanted to, they could do their own analysis and dig in. And so I think the real idea was just sort of to democratize data and to share ideas in that way. Some of the changes that we've added, we've changed the format. We've added subtopics to the various sections and grouped data visualizations by subtopic. And we've made the visualizations also more compact so that they could allow for side-by-side analysis. So you could have a chart up on one side, a line chart, for example, showing, say, evictions over time. And then on the right side of it, you could have a map showing where those evictions are. And we thought that would be very helpful to users. We've more than doubled the number of tables. Excel tables. We've tripled the number of data visualizations. And this was really to provide a bunch of new topics, the things we hadn't explored before, such as mortgage lending, home energy and transportation, and also expand on other things like the racial gap analysis. We've also added some more geographic analysis. Last year, we had added a typology analysis using urban, suburban, rural typologies for census tracts to look beyond counties as to look at urban, suburban, and rural Ohio. This year, we're still doing that, but we've also grouped counties into regions to do a regional analysis. And then we've also taken grouped together a lot of our state comparisons where we've compared Ohio to other states and to see how Ohio compares. And we've grouped those and put those into its own section called the How Ohio Compares section, which we think is a really helpful way to see, benchmark how Ohio is doing, not just against the rest nationally, but against some of our neighboring states, for example.
What are you really finding comparing Ohio to neighboring states? Do you think Ohio is doing better, on par, or worse than neighboring states on some of these metrics?
Well, there are ways that we're doing better than our neighbors and some ways that we're not. For instance, I know that we have the worst gap in the largest gap in infant mortality among our neighbors and actually nationally. So that's one. I think it's helpful to compare us to states in the region, just to kind of a way to see like where Ohio stands compared to similar states in the region, in a regional sense.
Referring to the COVID-19 pandemic that we're experiencing right now, how has this really changed the existing housing needs assessment and or the findings from the needs assessment? I mean, a lot of the data that we're relying on for the needs assessment is data that was released earlier this year prior to the pandemic. And I mean, that's just sort of the data challenges that we have to rely on. So how has COVID really played a role in this year's needs assessment?
So yeah, nearly all the data in the housing needs assessment reflects a pre-COVID Ohio. And part of that is just because there is a data lag, and that's when we start putting it together at the end of 2019. So as we were putting it together, as the pandemic got underway and the economy started falling apart, if you will, we realized that there was a need to include some more real-time data that kind of gave a picture of, okay, this is, in addition to this is what the housing needs were at the end of 2019, this is how some of them have changed since then. And so what we did was we found a number of data sources that were putting out data on a monthly basis with a month or 2 month lag. Some of them come out weekly, but we're tracking evictions, we're tracking the housing market in terms of home sales, and we're looking at unemployment, and we're looking at some of those vulnerable populations as well. Some of the things we noticed, home sales are below average, while home prices are above average, which suggests that many potential home buyers who may be out of work or worried about losing a job are staying out of the housing market, while higher income buyers who are aided by historically low interest rates are still buying. Another thing we learned are that many Ohioans, particularly in rural Appalachia and in denser urban areas, are especially vulnerable right now, including those who live in mobile homes and overcrowded housing. In this section, the special section, we're going to be updating the metrics on an ongoing basis to keep the information as up to date as possible, at least throughout the rest of the crisis.
And so that can be found along with the rest of the needs assessment and executive summary on OPA's website, correct?
Yes.
Great. So what are the policy implications for organizations that are involved in housing in Ohio really kind of using the needs assessment?
Well, we hope that the housing needs assessment will inform state and local leaders of housing needs especially vulnerable populations, and the importance of finding the funding and political support to create more affordable housing.
Do you know of other people or agencies that kind of use the data from the needs assessment, and how they use it? Like, are there any practical uses for the needs assessment outside the housing industry?
So I know some examples. I know COHIO uses our data, HPIO, the Area Agencies on Aging. I know that the Ohio Department of Education has used some of our data to inform policy. I would say that there are policy implications beyond the housing world. As you say, housing is so foundational that it touches on many other areas like education and health. And so we feel that the needs assessment can really help inform policies and priorities for all sorts of decision makers, and as well as broadening an understanding of the issues.
All right, so after everything that we've kind of discussed today, what are some of the major takeaways that you wish everybody would know about the housing needs assessment?
So I think that the most important takeaway is that there is still a need to build and create more affordable housing for Ohioans. There are certain populations that are especially vulnerable, and I think that the needs assessment draws attention to those points. And, I think that especially as things change, we don't know whether there's going to be a new wave of evictions, for example. We don't know what the economy is going to look like in 6 months. But I think that it's important for us to kind of take the pulse of what it's like for renters and homeowners and mortgage holders in Ohio. What it's like, what the homeless population is facing, what the population that's facing homelessness is experiencing, and understanding that need as we set policy, as we make decisions moving forward.
Also, where can we really find the housing needs assessment?
You can find these on OPA's website and under the Office of Housing Policy.
And so finally, if you could have everybody read one book, what would it be and why?
I would recommend The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein. I think that it's a very eye-opening account of the history of housing policy in the 20th century in particular, and how it's contributed to a lot of the inequalities we still see today. And I would add, too, that actually if you don't have time to read it, that there's a great short film that he's made called Segregated by Design that you can find online pretty easily.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Cody.
To my listeners, please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorsteps podcast so you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account @OhioDoorsteps. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Cody Price, and this is Doorsteps.